This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the most merciful, all praises due to Allah. And may His peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I begin by greeting all my brothers and sisters, saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And as always, we like to begin by praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all of you out there, your loved ones, your neighbors, and your families are in the best of health, the best of spirit, and the strongest of faith, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And welcome to our nightly khatiras. And as we have been saying, inshallah, we are discussing anxiety that is related to the current situation that is taking place. And tonight, I would like to discuss with you, inshallah, prophetic teachings as to how to deal with this. And just as a refresher, please remember what we said about anxiety last time. We said that anxiety is this very unpleasant emotion that we feel in anticipation of something going wrong in the future. And we said that this emotion at times is vague. We do not know what is driving it. And it is unpleasant, meaning that it is not something that people actually rejoice or they look forward to. People actually do not like the experience of being anxious or being in the state of anxiety. Sometimes anxiety is very natural, depending on what is going on. That would be, like we said, you're anticipating an exam, waiting for a result, you are in a court hearing. So that type of anxiety is natural. It is 100% acceptable. What we are concerned about is chronic anxiety, and that is people who are just in this constant state of anxiety. And usually what happens at that point is that there are two things that are taking place. There is the emotional symptoms of anxiety, and then also anxiety, interestingly, subhanAllah, comes with physical symptoms as well. And we said that the emotional symptoms of it is that this constant fear and worry, always in the state of anticipation, the feel that something is about to go wrong at any minute. And then as far as the symptoms, I remember reading that there are at least about, some people have said that there are about 102 different physical symptoms of anxiety: dry mouth, lightheadedness, blurred vision, feeling that there is a lump in my throat, trembling or shaking or any of these things. And what we wanted to do is learn more about the prophetic remedy and how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam deal with this, and what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach. And please remember that when we speak about acknowledging anxiety, see, there is a difference between acknowledging something and encouraging something. Acknowledging anxiety in the circumstances that we are in does not equate that we are encouraging. We're just acknowledging the fact that it is taking place. So when we speak, as far as acknowledgement is concerned, we are saying that it is natural, it is normal. If you've been feeling it, the situation lends itself to people feeling this way. So please do not feel guilty. Do not question, I am religious and I'm not supposed to be feeling this way. That is absolutely not true. And again, please forgive me for repeating this, but this is so unbelievably important. A believer can be very tender in their heart and simultaneously also very troubled in their mind. And that does not take away from them whatsoever. So, and we said that also in Islam, there is this idea of when people usually ask, why is it that people experience the same event? However, some people experience the event and they do not necessarily have anxiety. And other people who experience the same event, they may have anxiety? This is a really, really good, complex question. There are so many different factors that determine this. There is absolutely the learned behavior. There are personality traits. There is maybe history of abuse or trauma and negative experiences. There is also the way that we react to mental and emotional stress. There is also brain chemistry and genetic factors that are all to be explored in this case. And also interestingly, there is something called susceptibility. Some people are more susceptible to be the recipients or those who experience anxiety more than others. So nevertheless, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, speaking about anxiety, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never forbade the presence of anxiety. In fact, we said that it is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam acknowledged it, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us how to deal with it. And as we have said, in Islam, the beautiful thing here is that life is not supposed to be worry-free. That was never a promise that was made to the believers. If anything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ, that man is created with, you know, by virtue of being alive, that there are going to be difficulties. And what happens at that point is, because there are going to be these difficulties, acknowledging this, what happened is that now the Quran is shaping the attitude of the reader of the Quran as far as life is concerned. Because we said last time that the way you see life determines how you live life. And what we see is that in like we said, in more than at least 50 places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about what life is like and so on. There is a beautiful hadith, inshallah, that I really, really would love to focus on. And that is where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking about this thing. A hadith is narrated by Imam Muslim. Narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مثل المؤمن كمثل الزرع لا تزال الريح تميله ولا يزال المؤمن يصيبه البلاء ومثل المنافق كمثل شجرة الأرض لا تهتز حتى تستحصل. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the parable of a believer is that of a crop which withstands the wind, for the believer continues to endure the suffering of trials. The parable of the hypocrite is that of a cedar tree, for it does not budge until it is uprooted. And as you know, that the Quran uses this idea of parables. Parables are really, really powerful tools in conveying a message. They are supposed to be short. Most of the time, there might be a rhythm into them. And they are supposed to be impactful. They are easy to remember, but they're also easy to recall. And what is beautiful about parables is that they are able to condense so much meaning in little words. And by the way, this is not just something across human cultures, people use this idea of parables. In the US, for example, people would say, I am between a rock and a hard place. Or people would say, I am barely keeping my head above water, meaning that this constant struggle and so on. So the Quran, as well as the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they both use the idea of parables in conveying a message. This one is a beautiful, beautiful parable that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. He said that a believer is like a crop. You know, it's standing upright. But when the wind blows, what does that crop do? In order for it to survive, the crop actually bends along with the wind, acknowledging that the wind is very powerful as means of survival. The crop bends along with the wind. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the winds here are the different sufferings and the trials and the tribulations that a believer faces, acknowledging that right now, this is what I need to do. Like that very smart crop, it goes along with the wind. Because then the Prophet ﷺ said that the hypocrite does not budge, and does not budge until it is completely uprooted. And then, of course, once uprooted, you're never coming back again. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that certain types of tribulations a believer must actually go like the crop with the wind. And remember, this is in terms of acknowledging and not necessarily encouraging. And the fact that I am accepting something does not necessarily, or acknowledging something does not necessarily mean that I am accepting it. Because remember this, certain losses in life, we must accept as a new reality. And certain losses in life, we need to get up again. And there is this beautiful serenity prayers. And I believe it's repeated a lot within the Christian circles. And this is truly a prayer where a Muslim believer can truly say, sincerely, they can say, Ameen to. And that prayer, called the serenity prayer, you're supposed to pray and say, saying, God, give me the strength to change the things that I can. And give me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change. And give me the wisdom to differentiate between the two. It's a beautiful dua. It's a marvelous, marvelous dua. So what happens now is you say, God, give me the strength to change the things that I can. And the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change. Because like we said, the challenges in life are two types. Some we can change and others we must accept. A recipe for misery, a recipe for disaster, is when we attempt to change the things that we must accept and we accept the things that we can actually change. So for example, death. Death is a calamity. There is nothing that can be done about death. So what does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach? Complete surrendering. لِلَّهِ مَا أَخَذَ وَلَهُ مَا أَعْطَى وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِمِقْدَارٍ. To Allah belongs what He has given, to Allah belongs what He has taken, and everything that is done by Him is done with due measure. An invitation to complete surrendering, because only complete surrendering is the wisest thing to practice at that moment. And what we need to do is the serenity to accept this. Certain health challenges. Now, what we do is that we change, we accept, and sometimes we need to modify. Okay. Once we are faced with certain health challenges, some are permanent, which means that we must accept, and some are temporary, which means that we need to modify, like the crop that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is blown by the wind. But once the wind is over, then that crop comes back again and it continues to grow. Because withstanding the wind, it may give us a false sense of being a hero, and it will end up uprooting us. And once you are uprooted, you cannot get up again. And these are beautiful prophetic teachings that makes so much not only sense, but these are signs of emotional intelligence and psychological intelligence that is expected of a believer. So he said, now these are challenges that we have to either change, face and change, or what we do is that we accept. And what happens, unfortunately, sometimes is the things that we can change, the most common remedy that people choose in order to avoid anxiety, because we really don't like the experience of being anxious, that which is practiced by most people is avoidance. So we avoid situations. Sometimes it could be family situations. We don't want to get into an argument, we avoid. I am afraid of this. We avoid. I remember I had a client, a very beautiful brother, mashallah. I had a very successful job, and he just did not like to go under a bridge as he was, you know, driving. And sometimes that just made it very difficult. So what he ended up doing is that he would find all these different routes that do not necessarily include driving under a bridge. Okay. So this is what we call avoidance. Now, certain things, if we avoid, they may not really impact our lives. So what we do is that, you know what, you avoid it and you move on, and that's fine. But then once the avoidance starts impacting our lives, that becomes a big, huge problem. So we need to know which challenges we must accept, which challenges we need to change, and which challenges we need to modify. So in this beautiful hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving this beautiful summation as to how intelligent a believer is in making sure that they do not play that role of a hero, so that they do not end up like the cedar tree that is uprooted. Okay. And then also, there are different hadith as far as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, would speak about these different challenges. He would speak about a person who lost his eyesight, for example, and this is one of the most unfortunate things to ever experience, but it is reality to some people. Some people have really lost their eyesight for whatever reason. Accidents, diabetes, or you know, whatever has happened. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would speak to these people, and he would say, "من أذهبت حبيبتيه فصبر واحتسب لم أرض له ثوابا دون الجنة." Again, the hadith collected by Imam Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks that, you know what, who has ever lost his eyesight and they have patiently persevered, so that the only acceptable reward for them, Allah says, is paradise. And please remember, when we say that a person is patiently persevering, does not mean that I do not feel the pain. I don't know why, but we equate patience with the lack of feelings. That is humanly impossible. And if this is what we teach, it is very cold and it is very inhumane. Nowhere in the Quran does it ever, you know, teach these things. They're just humanly not possible. I'll give you an example. Yaqub alayhi salam, the father of Yusuf alayhi salam, he loses his son Yusuf alayhi salam for a long time. And yet the Quran tells us that he was a very patient man. Yet Yaqub alayhi salam really displayed an unbelievable amount of grief. He was grieving for his son and for the loss of his child, so much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that something happened to him. He said, فَبِيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ, that his eyes went blind out of grief. And you say, but wait a minute. See, losing an eyesight is a physical issue. Grief is emotional. Are you suggesting, because the Quran is saying that the loss of his eyesight was due to grief, فَبِيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ, for those who speak Arabi, min here means because of, min السَّبَبِيَّ. So what happens now is, which is very common, sometimes people would have emotional challenges that they're going through, and these emotional challenges would exhibit themselves in a physical form. You are afraid. Fear is emotional. But then your heart starts pumping faster. It starts beating very fast. So even though what you're feeling, it's emotional, but the way that it is exhibiting itself comes in the physical form. Sometimes you hear a story and then you say, oh, I'm getting goosebumps, or I can, you know, feel the hair on the back of my neck standing. I don't have hair on the back of my neck, by the way. I'm just using an example here, okay? So now what happens is we speak this way in a sense that I was having an emotional issue, but it exhibited itself in a physical form. But going back to this idea of a person who patiently perseveres does not mean that they don't feel the pain. That would just be unbelievably inhumane for us to either accept or expect or promote such a thing. If you are patiently persevering, you are 100% allowed and permitted, of course, to feel that pain, and sometimes to even display your pain. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he lost his son, and he was crying sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and people did not expect this from the Prophet of Allah, because they thought that if he is a prophet of God, then he is supposed to be exhibiting some serious amount of patience. And people came out and they said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "What is this, Prophet of Allah? You know, what are you doing?" And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught what a believer does. Said that إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ لَتَدْمَعَ, said, indeed my eyes tear up. وَإِنَّ الْقَلْبَ لَيَحْزَنَ, indeed I experience grief in my heart. وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِي رَبُّنَا, but we only say that which is pleasing to our Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the first thing as we are meeting these challenges, okay? And the second thing that we have been talking about is the importance of attitude. Please remember that attitude is contagious. Attitude is contagious. Depression is contagious. Anxiety is contagious. And when we speak about attitude, we are talking about the emotional responses to different situations that we go through, different people that, or ideas that we react to. And attitude encompasses all the things that one does that outwardly reflects one's mood, feelings, and beliefs. You can also think of attitude as the mental tones and the outward expression of one's thoughts and feelings that affect how we act or react, and invariably influences how others react to us. Or, just to put it very simply, we can say that attitudes are indications of one's approach to daily life. So please remember that attitude is contagious. And the better of an attitude, or the most positive of an attitude that we exhibit, then that's what we are influencing, or how we are influencing those who are around us. And that's why we say a positive attitude is contagious. Do not wait to catch it from others, but rather be the carrier and pass it on. Positivity, like knowledge, when shared, is not halved, but it is doubled. I love this. Positivity, like knowledge. You know, when we share knowledge, if I tell you what I know does not become less because now I'm sharing it with you. To the contrary, what I know can potentially become more simply because the more I share it, the better I know it. But then I share it with somebody, then they ask questions, they add their thoughts to my thoughts, and now it actually doubles. Similarly, positivity is like that. The more we share of it, it does not split, but rather it actually doubles. If I am positive and my neighbor becomes positive as a result, that's two people being positive, not I have half of positivity. So please, in these times, please be the bearer and the carrier of good news. We all know what's being read. We all know that the number of cases of, you know what, people who have been infected with coronavirus now in the US exceeds the number in China. We know that. So we can all be exposed to this news. That's fine. Remember, a positive person, a person with a healthy attitude, is not necessarily a person that does, denies reality. But this is all about where do you choose to have your vision and energy and time focused. So we want to be bearers and carriers of good news and positivity. And as you all know that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only just about attitude about the past, but also our attitude towards the future, it influences our own mindset towards the rest of our life. Being positive about our life or the life that is ahead of us is amongst life's greatest motivators. Hope is the best attitude towards the future. Realistic expectation that something good or better could, will happen. Inshallah, Ya Rabbil Alameen, continually doing the best that we can. And inshallah, you know, in one of the courses that I teach Islam and psychology. And in one of these courses, we speak about the concept of hope in the Quran compared to, you know, we compare it to what science tells us, but also we compare it to the Western attitude as far as hope is concerned. So there is attitude towards what is happening right now, and then there is attitude towards the future. The best attitude to have towards the future is this idea of hope, that inshallah things are going to get better. This realistic, good, positive, realistic expectation, a good outcome for what happens in the future. In addition to that, you know, part of the attitude that we also carry is this idea of living in the presence. Now remember, we can look at the past, learn from the past, and appreciate our memories. We can look into the future, set our goals. The more we remind ourselves of the responsibility of the presence, the better we get at living the moment. The better we live the present moment, the better the consequence for the futures, for the future becomes. Okay. The sad reality is that too many of us spend a lot of time in dwelling in the past or on the future, that no real attention is paid to the present. The present is all we really have at this point, and it is the most valuable gift, and that is why we need to practice as much as possible, appreciate this. And that is why in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, "Inna husna dhanni min husni al-ibadah," that having good thoughts is part of excellence in worship. Inna husna dhanni min husn al-ibadah. You know, the idea of having good thoughts and good assumptions is part of good ibadah. Now imagine subhanaka ya Rabbi, that having a positive attitude or a positive outlook, that is actually part of a person's excellence in religiosity. So it's not just about being hip. It's not just about you know, trying to join the culture or what have you. But rather, this is part of our deen. This idea of being a bearer and a carrier of positivity is really, really beautiful. Okay. And then, of course, in the inshallah, we'll come to these things later. But something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, has taught, and that is the idea of being useful. One of the best ways to overcome anxiety, to overcome depression, and they found this idea of, say that when we make somebody else happy, when we extend a helping hand to somebody else, it said that that actually positively reflects on our own lives, and it changes our circumstance as well. How so? In the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, عليكم بالجهاد وجاهدوا في سبيل الله فإن الجهاد في سبيل الله باب من أبواب الجنة ينجي الله تبارك وتعالى به من الهم والغم. He said, engage in the idea of jihad, struggling to do something good for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For indeed, this type of struggle, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, opens the gates of paradise. Opens the gates of paradise, but then he said something else. He said it opens the gates of paradise. Babu min abwab al-jannah. It's one of the gates of paradise. And then he said, يُنَجِّ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى بِهِ مِنَ الْهَمِّ وَالْغَمِّ. That through it, Allah saves from anxiety and grief. This is beautiful. If you're out there, send your salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Because the idea here is the idea of being useful. You know, sometimes, remember what I said about sometimes being depressed or being anxious? Because of them, we can be so depressed that we are absolutely isolated and so on. And then we can be very anxious and afraid that we become paralyzed or that we freeze. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't do that. He said, rather, be useful. I love it. Be useful, he said. Be useful, engaging into what the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, some kind of struggle, being good. He said, do so, he said, for indeed it is one of the gates that leads to paradise, باب من أبواب الجنة. And then he beautifully, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, يُنَجِّ اللَّهُ بِهِ مِنَ الْهَمِّ وَالْغَمِّ. Allah through it saves people from anxiety and from depression. So we've been getting the questions from the brothers and the sisters, inshallah. And I want to make sure that I answer some of these questions before our time is up. So if you have the questions, I believe there is the link where you can send the questions. So being useful and being helpful to those who are around us. What do you do? You know, there is just so much that can be done, especially nowadays, you know. The checking on people. You know, I love the idea of just picking up the phone and remembering people, you know, that would rarely be remembered. And you know, some of our community members are actually like this. People who come to the masjid, people may know them by face. You know, when we see them, they're there, and when we don't see them, we don't miss them. And it would be so beautiful that every now and then we remember these brothers and sisters, where we just pick up the phone and say, look, man, how are you doing? Or sometimes you've got people who are just constantly, who are in the state of, they're always helping people, they're always serving people, and they're always, you know, in this process of always continuously giving. And, you know, we don't ask as to how they are doing. Please, please do that. These are beautiful, beautiful things. I love the story of the landlord. And remember what I said about, you know, attempting to make sure that we want to always, you know, be carriers and spreaders of good news. The landlord who called his tenant, and he said, you know, I know that these days are tough for many people out there. And he said that he was going to only charge her. She was a single mom. He was only going to charge her half of the rent. And then he also gave her back half of her security deposit. And he said that, I just want to make sure that you're doing well. And that's beautiful. Wallahi, that is beautiful. You know, we can go into the stories of the people who are hoarding and buying so many things and what have you, but these are things that are beautiful. You know, I know that people who've reached out to the local hospital, coffee shops who reached out to the local hospital, to the local doctor, said, look, it may not be much, but we are providing lunch for you today. You know what, for the rest of the day, coffee is going to be on us. We will provide fresh coffee to these heroes, out there, the doctors, the nurses, and everybody in that field, man, that's just absolutely subhanAllah crazy in so many ways. Expressions of appreciation are some of the most beautiful things that we all can practice. Oh man, there was this study that was done. We have about 7 minutes left. There is this study that was done, and they had about 200 people. It was a very controlled study. And for the weekend, they gave people a task, and the other group of people, they did not give them a task. And the group that was given a task, it was given a very specific task. And the task that was given to them was as follows. Said that we want you to find at least about 8 people that have done you a favor in the past, and you do not believe that you have really, really appreciated them or you have thanked them enough. So what we want you to do over the weekend is we want you to write them a letter of appreciation, a letter, an email, a phone call. But we really, that's what we want you to do. So these people, they went home, and for the entire weekend, they are thinking about the people who have done me good. It was my fourth grade teacher that was just absolutely loving, understanding, compassionate, and nice. I remember one day I did something that was so embarrassing, yet the teacher just, and they start writing about their teacher. And then they remember that they had an operation and the doctor did such a good job, and they don't think that they thanked the doctor enough. So they started writing an appreciation letter to the doctor. And then people said, you know what? My wife has been so good to me, and we've been married for so long. I really don't think that I've appreciated my wife as much. And they start writing an appreciation letter to the wife or to the husband. And then, they spend their entire week and, you know, taking mental notes about the different kind of people and what have you. Comes back after the weekend, and in the study they found out that the people who spent the weekend thinking of people to thank and thinking of the notes that they wrote as a form of appreciation, they actually reported a much happier weekend than the people who were not given any task. And that reminded me, inshallah, this is something that we will talk about in other times. It reminded me of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Whosoever is grateful, they do so for their own good. When we express appreciation, we actually benefit from that more so than the recipient of the appreciation. Remember, the recipient of the appreciation, they definitely, you know, they definitely appreciate the fact that they've been appreciated. But overall, what Allah is telling us is that the person who actually is the giver of appreciation is the one who actually benefits most from the appreciation that they are extending to other people. وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ يَشْكُرُ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. My brothers and sisters, please, please, please be safe. Please be safe. As I don't want to, you know, go back into some negative news, but it's getting very serious. And we have an obligation to protect ourselves and to protect those who are around us. And I must really say that, you know what, as painful as closing the masjid has been, but I really, really believe that this was the wisest thing to do. It was the most Islamic thing to do. I've been hearing the reports about, I read somewhere that 23% of the people dying in the UK are elderly Muslims. And somehow, you know, the idea here is being linked to the people going to the masjid. So remember, even though it's no longer the case, young people do not are not impacted by corona. That's not true anymore. But what happens is that we go out and then we come back to our elderly parents, or we come back to our elderly grandparents, whose, you know, immune system is already compromised and they are frail in their old age. And we pass on these things to them. So please, 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 please be safe. Please be safe. And if there is no reason for us to be outside, then please make sure that we are not outside. Like I said, I was just looking into the questions that were coming our way. And here is one. Allahumma salli ala Rasulillah. If I can't find the one. And you know what? Actually, it would be nice if people can also join by sending good positive stories that we can actually share with our families. That would absolutely be that would just absolutely be beautiful if we can do that, inshallah. So if you are able to share these stories with us, that would be great. Let me see. In any case, once again, Jazakumullah khair for spending this time with us. And inshallah, we will see you tomorrow. Please continue to follow. I believe it's either Sheikh Faqih or Sheikh Anwar tomorrow evening. Inshallah, continue to send the questions and we will eventually get to them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless us all, Ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, Ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah continue to keep us all safe, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Our brothers in faith as well as our brothers in humanity. Jazakumullah khair. And as you noticed tonight, we're not at the masjid because of the curfew. And we want to make sure that we are respectful of this. Jazakumullah khair once again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.